Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social.
When things come back, very often they come back different. Paul Murray. Welcome to Grimley.
Just no.
That's a full sentence. You're allowed.
That was a full sentence for sure. But here we are. Hello.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's good. The solstice is...
Today is the solstice.
Oh, it's today.
Yes. Okay. Happy summer solstice.
Look at us. I'm a terrible witch. I forgot it was today. I couldn't remember if it was the 21st or not, but that's
today's
December. Today's the 21st?
Yeah.
Oh, it is. Okay. Then it is the solstice. I thought it was the 20th.
I don't think it happens on a specific day.
Right.
I think the time changes.
Sure.
Because I think last year was the 22nd.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it's between the 20th and 22nd, 23rd.
Oh, okay.
So I don't think it's on the specific, like, kind of like Thanksgiving always changes.
That's true.
The first
day of.
It's the longest day of the year. I think that changes. I don't think it's a specific date.
But I thought that the winter one was always the 21st.
I think it's around the 21st. Okay. I don't think it is the 21st.
Well, damn.
Yeah. So you are a terrible witch.
All right. Well, I'm learning.
Yeah. Anyways.
I was telling our friends that I distinctly remember not realizing or knowing that the moon would just disappear, wouldn't be there. There were some nights that the moon wasn't there, and it never crossed my mind until you said it to me.
Though there was a new moon.
Is that the one where there's no moon?
Yeah.
Why would we call it a new moon if there's no moon?
I think it's still there. We just can't see it.
We can't see
it
because it's on some other...
Yeah. I think it's not on the horizon, or just the way the Earth's rotation is happening.
Listen, I know it doesn't disappear.
Yeah, it doesn't walk away. It doesn't take a vacation.
I hadn't consciously registered that there were some nights that you couldn't see it, that it wasn't there.
I know that for photography.
Right. And yes, that's why we talked about it.
Yeah. No, but yeah, that's a new moon. I don't know why it's called a new moon. Or it should be called no moon.
Yeah.
But maybe no moon is too freaks everybody out.
Maybe
where'd the moon go?
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyways, welcome to Grimley.
Welcome to Grimley.
Hi. I am Missy.
And I'm Meg.
And we are two unserious people that talk about seriously creepy shit. Yeah. And I've made you force participate in a lot of things lately. Do you want to air your grievances on air about it?
No. No. Do you? Like, we can talk about it.
We've not talked about... So I took you backpacking last weekend. And you were like, I'm never doing this again.
I, no, well.
Initially.
Yeah.
And then it got to twice a year.
Yeah. Well, listen, I had fun, of course.
Yeah.
I have fun doing things, but it's not my new favorite hobby. I certainly don't know why you feel like doing it all the time. Like,
I did not think it was going to be your new favorite hobby.
It's not.
To be completely honest.
No.
I definitely thought you should try it.
Yeah, I'm glad that we did it.
Okay.
I don't know. It's just the carrying my house on my back seems unnecessary.
But you also don't like camping because you don't like all the shit you schlep in your car.
Oh, it's so true, which is why my ideal type of camping is when...
A cabin.
Or you have a vehicle that's already outfitted and everything is just there.
So a camper.
A camper, or some people have like...
The vans.
The vans or a truck with the thing on top. And you have like your little kitchen that pulls out. Mm-hmm. It's just some... Yeah, if I had, I don't know, like... $65,000
to drop on one of those.
Yeah, then I would be into it.
I get that. You can't go everywhere with those though. You can't go where we went. last weekend.
Respectfully, beautiful. I wasn't sure.
No disrespect to this lake.
No disrespect to the lake or the planner or the trip in itself. But if I don't get to go there specifically, there are other gorgeous places. And maybe it's because we live in such a beautiful place.
Yeah.
That, okay, maybe we're not right by the water, but I can walk 6 minutes and get to the water and spend the day there and not have to pack the pack on my back for however many miles.
Right.
Also, the hike back really bummed me out.
Why?
Like, I'm just done because we did the thing yesterday.
Yeah.
And now there's a whole nother hike today. Like, yes. How often am I doing two back-to-back hikes?
Yeah.
Two days in a row? Never.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think probably you have ever done that, right?
It's not for me.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. But you did say you do it twice a year.
Well, and that's maybe too frequent, to be honest. I know. Because the season is short.
The season is short. That was kind of impressed. We said twice. I was like, wow, okay.
I'm saying I would be open to it if the second one was like much shorter than the one we did.
Okay.
But if my shoes weren't bothering me and if it was, I didn't have 30 pounds. Actually, if the shoes were better, then I would have been fine probably.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't sore anywhere else.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
You're out of shape.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it wasn't too heavy.
Yeah.
Thanks to you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I feel like Coleman carrying my shit.
Too. Right. Pretty much. It's like everyone else is carrying my stuff. For me. Thank you. No, and then I made you go to a baseball game.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. There was a lot of forced participation from you in the last week.
I know. Yeah. The baseball game.
That was a very boring baseball game.
It was a boring game.
It was a boring game. That was kind of the downer. The baseball games are always just fun regardless.
Well, because of the shenanigans.
The shenanigans, yes,
it's a exactly. A lot of shenanigans.
Yeah, and then you just like kind of 86 yourself eventually.
It had been a long day for me at that point.
You're like, I'm going to go. I'm like, what the fuck?
Like, I'm not going to make it home if I stay any longer. Did you stay solo dolo all the way to the end?
Yeah.
Did our friends leave us?
No.
They stayed. Oh, that's good.
Yeah. No, I stayed till the end.
Well home, all the way home before you left, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, not a chance in hell. I don't regret it for one second. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I rode the train home, took the Uber here, and was like probably in bed before you left. I was like, oh.
No, we stayed for the fireworks nights because it's fireworks nights on Fridays at the baseball game. And that was fun to watch.
All right. Well, the hot dog was great. Or the sausage specifically. Yeah. I think that they're like this. It's the same place that they have up in Leavenworth that does.
Probably. T-Mobile Park is known for its food.
Oh, good for us.
It's like a big deal. Like one of the top parks when it comes to eating.
Hell yeah.
I know. That's why I also like to go.
Sure.
I brought food home.
You did?
Yeah. I bought like a teriyaki bowl thing. I like ate two bites. I was like, I'm full again.
And good
so
job.
I just put the lid on it. I'm like, this is dinner. Too good. I still have it in my fridge, actually.
Oh, wow.
I'll eat it tonight, probably.
Okay, perfect. Home. Oh, that's such a little treat.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. I tried to get a slice of pizza on the way out, but Ballard Pizza Company was...
yelling at you?
They were done. They were like... I was like... They were cleaning up.
Yeah. They do often do that. Sometimes around the seventh inning, they're like, oh, we're done. But I walked somewhere else, and I was able to get beer and
I didn't want to just food. Any ballpark pizza, you know? I want decent pizza.
Okay.
Well, I didn't get it, so...
You did not. You just left.
I did.
Yeah. That is our biggest difference. I don't half-ass a lot of things.
It's so annoying for me, personally. But I appreciate they didn't get mad at me for leaving. It wouldn't have stopped me.
No. I wouldn't... Yeah, it's fine. I am aware that I am like a... I'm a full booty agenda when it comes to doing the thing.
The commitment.
I commit.
Oh, my God.
Really hard.
Why?
I don't... Because I'm not going to do it otherwise. I'm either 100% in or I'm 100% out.
Oh, my God. Again, a Virgo.
Ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
It's black and white.
It is very black and white. I just put my whole butt into it or I'm not doing it at all.
All right. Well, the ass was there.
No half-assing around here. Maybe from Meg, not from me. You'll tiptoe and you're like,
I'm going to mail it in every single time. Yeah.
And that is,
but you have to understand, I was like downtown at Pacific Place.
Dude, I knew that's why I was like, why are you doing that today?
I knew. Well, there was a logistical thing.
I know.
But for me, it was already a thing I wouldn't have been doing because why would I have been down there to do that
mm-hmm.
on the busiest day.
Because it was also the World Cup.
It was the World Cup during the day, and then it was the game in the evening. Mm-hmm. And they apparently had like a giant screen in the mall. I didn't realize that. And there were thousands of people in there watching.
Yeah. The game. Yeah.
They had stopped letting people in at one point, and I had to break in another way.
To go to wherever.
Yeah, I was like, I have a reservation. I'm fucking going in there. And they're like, sorry, we can't let anybody in. I was like, okay, bet. And then I found another store to go through and went inside.
Yeah.
So, I'd seen enough of
Seattle.
Of the world, really, at that point.
I know, because it was Australia versus the U.S.
Yes.
On Friday. It was Friday. Yeah, and it was kind of crazy down there.
It was crazy, but you know what it is? It's clean, in a way. It is normally not.
Yeah, that's for sure. But yeah, I guess thank you for
I was people
participating, I guess. Mm. This is my thank you. An apology? I don't know.
No, but I do need to do some water stuff next. Mm-hmm. We haven't really had the lake day.
I know. Today probably would have been a great day. Nah, maybe not.
It was a lovely day.
Yeah, it's a nice day, but I'm just talking about how busy anything will be.
I don't know, maybe.
For Father's Day.
Maybe.
And summer solstice.
I guess so. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are we talking about today? God, that was the longest fucking intro ever.
Well, we have a shorter episode, if that makes you feel better.
I mean, it only makes you feel better. I was listening, I'd be like, what is happening?
Now, like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, they have chapters. And they'll tell you where to go if you want to skip all the bullshit. Oh,
they will tell you?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. I noticed that.
I'm a person that likes the chit-chat in my podcast.
I would skip. But it depends. If my hands are dirty or they're in the dish and sink washing, mm-hmm. or if I'm like driving, then mm-hmm. I might not skip. Mm-hmm. If my hands are otherwise tied up, basically is what I'm saying.
If I can't skip, I will. Is that what you're saying?
If I physically can't do it, then I will listen. But otherwise, naturally, I'm.
This is another example.
I'm in a hurry to get things done.
This is another example of I'm gonna commit fully. Oh, I'm listening to the whole thing.
Oh my god! I'm here with you. That is nice, I guess. It feels more earnest is what it is.
What? Me putting in an effort?
Yeah.
And you're just like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I think we're both being earnest in our own ways.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Because I'm being earnest because I'm like, I'm going to commit. And you're like, I don't want to do that, but I'm here with you.
Right.
That is kind of,
I guess so.
Us in a nutshell.
That's true.
Yeah.
And also I'm like, not going to do anything I don't want to do.
You kind of will though. You will complain.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you know what it is? It's hyperbole. I'm complaining, but I'm also... Is that annoying? That's probably insufferably annoying.
Not in a way that I won't just tell you to shut up.
sure. Because I am usually joking. Yeah. And like,
because I do know I know you well enough now to be like, you're being a brat. Shut the fuck up. And you're like, okay. Because you don't also take it
to looking for it, actually.
Yeah. You're like, I'm going to be obnoxious and everyone's going to have to deal with it.
We'll see how far I can take it.
You're like, I like to push
the
boundaries.
Get a reaction. It's funny.
And you usually get one out of me. That's the problem.
Funny. Come on.
It is funny. That's why I'm like, you're just being a brat. Shut the hell up. Anyways.
Yeah, okay, shut the fuck up.
Let's get into our episode.
Okay, we've been talking
about. Okay. So after the crash, there should have been answers. There should have been 3 injured people, a wrecked car, and a clear explanation for what happened on that cold South Dakota night. Instead, 2 people vanished from the scene, only to reappear months later in a ditch investigators believed had already been searched.
They believed it had been searched? Or they
we'll
knew?
Get into it.
Okay.
This is a strange and unsigned case of Arnold Archambault and Ruby Bruguier.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Okay. 2 names. Those are tricky. You're going to have to say those a lot.
I call them Arnold and Ruby.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. They're intense names. Yeah. I think they seem very French.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, where are they from? Not that it matters.
This is in South Dakota.
Okay.
So
there's a population of French immigrants.
Well, they're part of the Sioux Nation. And okay. So maybe there's some
cool,
some oppressive,
maybe,
energy coming, unfortunately, coming in. So on December 12, 1992, Arnold Archambault and Ruby Bregeer were driving home from a party along with Ruby's 17-year-old cousin, Tracy Dion. Arnold was 20 and Ruby was 19. Some sources say she was 18 during this.
Okay.
So it's a little, it's 18, 19, I will say.
Okay.
And Arnold and Ruby, they were in a relationship and they had a 19-month-old baby girl.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And Arnold was working at a nearby Fort Randall casino and he was making enough to support his growing family. Wow. And Arnold, Ruby, and Tracy were all members of the Yankton Sioux clan and they lived on the reservation.
Okay.
And this is a picture of Arnold and Ruby.
Oh, they look like they're in love.
I know. He's got a pretty solid mullet.
Honestly, she kind of has a mullet too. They both have mullets.
I think her hairstyle in this bottom picture is a little...
You think it's pulled back?
I think it's pulled back.
Okay, but what about this one? The top one is also giving...
Oh, that is giving a little bit of a mullet.
Yeah.
All right, it's mullets unite. Good for them.
What year is this again?
This is 92.
Okay.
They're very 92.
It's yeah, very I guess 90s. Early 90s. Early 90s in the Dakotas.
Yes, okay. In the Dakotas, in South Dakota.
Okay. Cute, but they do look like they are just loved up, though.
Yeah, they're babies.
Could I just stop doing this?
I know, will you?
They were totally fine, too. I'm just anxiously pulling them. I did it again. Oh, I need medication.
She's like ripping something off of her nails.
I'm always peeling the
nail polish?
The polish off of them.
Yeah, that's why I don't put nail polish on my nails anymore.
I'm sorry. Okay.
So the couple decided that they wanted to go to a party that night of December 11th, 1992, and they had dropped off their child, their little baby girl, with Ruby's uncle, and they were also picking up Tracy, who Ruby's uncle was Tracy's dad.
Okay.
Yeah, so they
traded one child for the other.
Yeah, so Ruby and Tracy were cousins.
Yes.
Yeah, so they're dropping their baby off with Tracy's dad, Ruby's uncle.
That's nice of him.
Yeah, exactly. So they go to the party, and then around 6 a.m. on December 12th, the uncle and Tracy's father said that Arnold had come back with Ruby and Tracy in the car, in his car, and the uncle knows that they had been drinking, so he tells them, maybe go home, sleep it off, sober her up.
Oh, before you take the baby with
you? Before you take the baby with you.
Okay. All right, so he's like, I'm not putting the baby in the car with you while you're drinking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so then Arnold is in the driver's seat, Tracy's in the middle, Ruby's on the other side. For me, I'm like, why didn't the uncle just be like...
Stay here?
Just stay here.
Or maybe there wasn't a space just crash for everybody. For, I don't know.
Crash on the couch.
Wait, his own daughter's going to their house too?
Yeah.
His daughter didn't stay at her house?
This is a weird... So this little segment is not in all the sources, and so I'm curious of why it's on all the sources, because it seems like a pretty significant part of the story. But yeah, for some reason Tracy was leaving with them still.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Okay, maybe they're gonna keep partying.
Maybe. So around 7 a.m at Lake Andes in South Dakota, which is located on the Yankton Sioux Reservation. The group is at a three-way intersection on Route 281, and they're about a mile east of Lake Andes. According to Tracy, this is what happens next. So she says, quote, "We came up to that stop sign. That's all I remember is just him looking and saying there are no cars and him spinning out from the stop sign. And it was just like a snap of a finger, and the next thing you know, we ended up in a ditch. And I was upside down in the ditch, and Ruby and I were in the car. Arnold wasn't in the car.
Oh.
I don't know where he was. Ruby was crying. She was saying, oh, God, oh, God. She was just kept hitting the car and kind of freaking out. The next thing I know, the door, it was open a little ways, and she had enough room where she slid out. And then so I was going to reach over, and then it was just like that. The door went shut.
Okay.
That's from Unsolved Mysteries.
Okay.
So the roads that morning were pretty icy.
Yeah, in December.
Yeah, December in South Dakota.
Yeah.
And it doesn't sound like Arnold was driving recklessly regarding of him drinking the night before. It sounds like he was just kind of pulling. He was at like, they were at like a...
Oh, and it was... Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
So Arnold was pulling out, and when they turned left onto Route 281, it sounded like he hit a patch of black ice, which causes the car to lose control and flip him over onto a ditch along the highway.
Okay.
And this is a Google Earth image.
Oh, it's flat.
It's very flat. The ditch is a bit confusing because you're going to hear about the ditch a little bit more. I don't know how deep this ditch is.
I mean, it's technically a ditch, but it's very flat.
But then there's going to be another part in the story where it sounds like it's a lot deeper and it doesn't make any fucking sense, is my point. And it's a mixed bag when it comes to the sources. I feel like you have to physically be there and look at the ditch to understand, maybe. And like maybe there's certain parts are a little bit deeper.
Okay.
You know, I mean, we live in a place that has a lot of rain. There's ditches everywhere. And like sometimes there's also points where like the ditches aren't so deep and then they get steep and then like it kind of like ebbs and flows. They don't
look it, but it's just grass, really tall grass. And it.
Yeah.
But that looks like someone mowed it or maybe it didn't look like that before.
Right. I mean, so I did go backwards on Google Earth because you can do like the timeline thing. And it all looks the same.
Okay.
Geographically.
Okay.
And so I don't know. Maybe the ditch is now a bit more shallow than it was once before. I don't know why it would be because, like, really nothing has changed topography-wise or geography-wise in this area. So it's
a bit of ice ages.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or, like, construction.
Sure.
Yeah.
Fine.
Is my point. So... in a later interview with Unsolved Mysteries, Tracy says that she doesn't remember Arnold being in the car after the accident, which is weird. Because also, the windshield doesn't break out. The windows are rolled up.
Okay.
She just says he's not there. And she doesn't really talk about, like, blacking out or getting knocked out or anything. She says she was just kind of in a daze. She said it happened very quickly.
Sure.
Like, they hit black ice, car spun out, it flipped over into the ditch.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm sure it was probably a little jarring. And so maybe she was like, They have been drinking. I don't think they've been drinking like for a couple of hours at this point, but still, like they had been drinking the night before. So she says that she doesn't remember Arnold being in the car after the accident, but she does remember her cousin Ruby punching the car and just like screaming, oh God, like kind of freaking out. And then she says that Ruby was able to push the car to open and get out, but Tracy tried to get out of the car too, but the door was shut after.
Okay.
So it was almost like Ruby pushed the car open, pushed the door open.
Just enough to get out and then it slammed shut again.
Yeah. Or she slammed it shut.
Okay.
We don't know. But either way, Tracy can't get out of the car now.
Okay.
And she says that she was like screaming for Ruby. She's like, Ruby, don't leave me. But Ruby just leaves.
Okay.
Which is odd.
I mean, there could be like head trauma happening for one or both of them.
Totally, but she's just like, yeah, I remember screaming for Ruby, but Ruby just kind of left.
Okay.
Which is weird because Ruby and Tracy were very close.
Yeah.
You know, they were cousins. Ruby really valued family.
Or like, just might as well be siblings type.
Yeah. And Tracy was like, there was no way I wouldn't have tried to get Ruby out. I just found it very odd that she just kind of left. That was weird. And she's also like, it's also very weird that Arnold just wasn't in the car.
From what she remembers.
From what she remembers. Yeah. Yeah. This is coming from a person that was in a car accident. So
yeah.
Yeah. Remember that. So Ruby and Arnold do not return to the accident site. And eventually someone drives by and sees the accident and authorities are contacted. And that's when Deputy Sheriff Bill Youngstrom is one of the first authorities on the scene. And he and other sheriffs search the area for signs of Arnold or Ruby, but there's nothing.
Okay, so they find her there alone in the car.
They find her there alone in the car. Yeah, some people come to the scene. They find Tracy in the car.
Weird.
Because they're like basically pulling up to this intersection. And there's a car flipped over.
Police have arrived.
So the sheriff arrives and they're searching the area. And there's no sign of Ruby or Arnold. And there's not even a blood trail. There's no blood on the scene of the accident either. No one really
got... Why is she trapped in it then?
She just couldn't get out of the car. I think the door's all fucked up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she's 17. She's probably just freaking out in there.
Okay.
You know, she's a girl. But Tracy doesn't seem to have any sort of really intense head trauma. She's not cut up or scraped up or anything. It literally was like the car hit some black ice and just flipped over.
Maybe they didn't want to get arrested.
That is a great theory. Yeah. We'll get into that.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're searching the scene and they have the sheriffs search the area. And there's a bit of a mixed bag when it comes to the ditch itself. There are some accounts that say that the ditch had water, but it was completely frozen over and you could walk on it.
Okay.
If it was deep enough for like you to sink in. There's other accounts that say that there really wasn't enough. It was all, everything was frozen over, but it wasn't necessarily, it was icy, it was frozen over, but it wasn't like a, You could really sink into it.
Sure.
Either way.
But it doesn't look like it would be that deep.
Yeah. Anyway. But there's no traces of anyone like breaking through some ice at the scene.
Yeah. And this does not look deep enough for that.
Yeah. And this will be significant later.
Okay.
But there's no sign of.
Unless there's snow everywhere. Is it snowy?
I think there probably is some snow, but I don't think it was like a huge snowbank or anything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think it's just more cold. Okay. It's really cold and really icy.
Okay.
Yeah. But there's no signs of Arnold or Ruby anywhere. They're walking up and down the ditch. They look a couple hours. And so then it's like, well, maybe they collapse somewhere further out.
Yeah.
And so they start stretching out further and there's just no signs of Arnold or Ruby.
And they haven't been home.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. And like I said, there's also no blood trail or really any footprints.
Okay. If there's not a lot of fresh snow, then maybe there wouldn't be. Okay.
And it's just kind of like they disappeared.
Weird, yeah.
Very
or
weird.
Or they obviously went somewhere.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So after the accident site is searched, Sheriff Youngstrom believes that Ruby and Arnold maybe walked home in order to avoid getting in trouble for drunk driving.
And having a minor.
And yes.
Yeah, drunk in their car.
Since but they
it,
were.
It seems like you'd want her to leave.
I know.
Instead of you leave her in your car.
Yeah.
Alone, drunk.
Yeah, because that's worse. I would
not
argue.
Great. Yeah.
Because they're nowhere near the scene. They're nowhere to be found. And so the sheriff's like, well, maybe they just kind of peaced out.
Yeah, we need to find them where they live.
Like, yeah, they went to go lay low for a couple days. That's kind of the idea. However, the next few days, Arnold and Ruby's families say that they have not seen or heard from them.
Okay, they could be lying. But it still seems like a huge lie for something that wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah. And they also haven't gotten in contact about their little baby daughter.
Oh, right. They have a kid.
They have a baby.
Okay.
And these were young people, but they weren't necessarily like...
Right. Deadbeat losers.
Yeah. Arnold has a job.
They didn't leave the baby at home while they went out to party.
Yeah.
Yeah. They gave it to somebody to look after.
Yeah. They're like, we're going to go have... It was around Christmas time.
Yeah.
You know, they're probably going out to see some friends. Maybe you haven't seen for a while. Yeah. They weren't deadbeats, I guess. They weren't bad parents. They seemed like they really loved their daughter. Ruby seemed to really be really involved with her family. She really loved her daughter. Arnold had a stable job. He was taking care of them.
Right.
You know, they weren't just like running off, even though that's kind of what the initial thought was.
Weird.
Yeah. So yeah, the families are like, they haven't contacted us.
Oh my God.
They're nowhere. And so the sheriff's department and their families and like other volunteers, they start doing search again around the accident site. So an extensive grid search is conducted around Route 281 near the crash. And then over the next few weeks, they also do other extensive searches around the crash site.
Okay.
But there's no sign of Arnold or Ruby. They're just like not there.
Okay. It's wild.
Yes. So in January 1993, so this is about a month later, there was a bit of thaw that happened, and a local man rode his horse up and down that same stretch of highway. I'll get into it. He's looking for his missing hubcap from his car.
Okay.
And he later reports to the sheriff during the search, this was January 31st, that he doesn't see anything out of the ordinary. And this will be important later. So there's about a month and a half later, this guy, he takes his horse. He walks up and down the same stretch of highway looking for a hubcap. Sees nothing. Just put a little pin in that. Mm-hmm. So by March of 1993, so a couple months after, Arnold and Ruby's whereabouts are still unknown. And no one thinks the couple just ran off and abandoned their daughter, like in a lot of cases. This is kind of more of a pleasant surprise.
Right, that the
everyone's
officers
like,
are like,
yeah.
We gotta find them.
Everyone's like, this is fucking weird.
Okay.
However, they're never put in any missing persons databases, like nationally.
Okay.
Which I do find odd.
Okay.
And the couple didn't really have any sort of relationship problems or financial issues. Arnold and Ruby really doted on their baby. And Ruby was also breastfeeding when she went missing. So everyone's like, this is just really fucking strange for them to just up and leave like this.
Okay.
They're like, something happened. It's kind of what everyone's thinking.
And there was no accident, damage to the vehicle from another vehicle. They weren't hit by anything.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't sound like it.
Wasn't a third party there.
No, it sounds like they hit some black ice and flipped, unfortunately. Okay. And they were like kind of pulling onto the highway when they did it. Mm. Well, they weren't going like crazy high speed either.
Yeah.
It was like the wheels were spinning for him to get up and go.
They would flip the car like that.
Yeah, I think black ice is scary.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. But yeah. They must have been doing something pretty quickly to try to, I don't know.
We lived on the highway. We had to turn out and kind of gun it, right?
A little, not in the middle of the night, though.
This is at like 7 a.m.
Okay.
When they did that, but...
But if no one was around to witness it...
That's true, yeah.
Then why would you be... Okay.
Yeah.
Speeding fast enough that the car flips over and it's totally flat...
Yeah, or maybe he freaked out.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
Because I think it's really easy to flip on black ice.
Sure. Okay.
So at this point, the Bureau of Indian Affairs is now brought in. And they go to the media and try to get the story out and the word out about Arnold and Ruby and their whereabouts. But this case gets flipped upside down on March 10th of that year as well. We'll take a break.
Okay.
Step right up to the Death Kiss Traveler podcast, where I take you to the dark side of amusement, and the stories are darker than you think. My name is Marissa, your morbidly curious host, and this is the only podcast that dives into the horror, history, and hauntings in the places meant to bring you joy. From deadly theme park accidents to circus tragedies to the chilling secrets hiding behind county fair rides, I uncover what really happened and the hauntings that may have followed, because sometimes the scariest part of the carnival isn't the ride. Follow Death Kiss Traveler, where fun turns fatal and the past never stays buried. New episodes on Friday. Listen on your favorite podcast platform.
You ready?
Yeah.
Yeah, her leg fell asleep, so she's probably going to complain about it. Limping around.
Sorry, that was annoying.
It's okay.
You didn't have to cut that.
You're just so loud and
screaming into the mic.
Your leg asleep. Okay, so we're back. All right. So on March 10th, 1993, a passing motorist drives past the site of the accident and calls in and reports that he sees a body floating in the water.
Floating in the water?
In the ditch.
Wow. Yeah. It must look different than it did back then.
I think it has to. So authorities come out and see a very decomposed body of what seems to be a woman.
Oh, my God.
And they are able to identify it as being Ruby from a tattoo she had on her ankle.
That floating said love. In the water.
Mm-hmm. And she was about 75 feet from the site of the accident.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the image that you showed me, it's not possible that she would be floating in that. So it must have looked very different at the time.
It probably looks a little different, but how do you feel about it being 3 months or 4 months later and she's just all of a sudden there after extensive searches have happened?
I mean, I think that's so odd.
Right. Okay. So make sure you
clocked. The whole thing is odd.
Yeah. So authorities come out and so they see a very decomposed body. They are able to identify it being Ruby from the tattoo. And then it's decided that they're going to pump out the remaining water in the area.
Okay.
And the next morning around noon, Arnold is found about 15 feet away from where Ruby was.
Oh, so it must have just been like this dark, murky water or something?
And he was under about 4 feet of water.
Oh.
But Arnold's body is way less decomposed.
Oh, really?
Significantly less. They were able to identify him on site.
Interesting.
So the search crash site, there was frozen ground, there was ice. There was no breaks in the water.
Oh, there wasn't?
No, there was no holes in the ice.
Oh.
And then 3 or 4 months later, they find both of these people in different stages of decomp.
Weird.
At the accident site.
Okay.
And it gets weirder.
Okay.
So everyone's now very confused.
Right.
These two people who have been missing for months are now finding the same site they went missing. And that was extensively searched, like I've said multiple times. And the rate of decomp is very different. Even weirder, Sheriff Youngstrom, one of the first sheriffs at the scene who had been trying to find these two the whole time, says that they find a tuft of hair on the shoulder near the bodies, and it was determined to be Ruby's hair.
Okay.
It's like just on the shoulder of the road.
Oh.
Just
wait, and they
there.
Didn't find that either?
No.
Oh. There hadn't been piles of snow?
No.
Okay.
It was determined to be Ruby's hair, and it didn't seem like it had been out in the elements for 4 months either.
Hmm.
He was like, it was clean.
Okay.
It wasn't hair that had been like sitting in the dirt.
Huh.
It was like a tuft of it. and it's near where she was found.
Okay.
So Ruby was wearing the clothes that she disappeared in from the party, but her shoes and glasses are missing.
Mm. Shoes?
Shoes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not in the truck?
No. Nowhere. They still have not been found.
Weird.
So Arnold doesn't seem to be wearing the clothes he went missing in, and his body isn't frozen to the ground, and that's usually his body or his clothes are not frozen to the ground.
Oh.
And that's usually the case for when someone's found like this.
Oh.
He's not like that. And he's also, the level of decomp is very different.
Than hers.
Yes.
And he would have been in, you said, in similar amount of water.
Yeah.
A lot of water.
Yeah. About 4 feet of water.
4 feet of water. For 4 months almost is a really long time.
Uh-huh.
Unless it, I guess it is frozen hard, solid. But then you wouldn't be in it.
Yeah. But there's also, there was no holes in the ice there.
Strange.
And
you think it would be like thawed, unthawed,
yeah.
Thawed.
But remember, there was that guy who said he was walking up and down when there was a thaw.
When there was a thaw, okay.
In January, and there was nothing.
Strange.
He's looking for that hubcap.
Mm-hmm.
So Arnold's also found with a set of car keys in his pocket. That's a car key and a house key. And they do not match his car, his house, or any structure or vehicle that he would have access to. Or
what?
Ruby. Yeah. He just is found with a set of keys and no one knows who the fuck they belong to.
What?
They're in his pocket.
Okay.
Arnold and Ruby's remains are taken to Sioux Falls, where autopsies are performed. Mm. And the cause of death is determined to be hypothermia.
Okay.
But the exact time of death couldn't be determined. Some sources say that this report says December 12th, but there's later evidence that proves otherwise.
Okay.
So it's also determined that neither Ruby or Arnold had significant injuries from the car accident itself. There wasn't any head trauma or anything, which kind of rules that out, mm-hmm. unfortunately.
Yeah, how would they both end up in a ditch together?
Yeah.
If it wasn't...
And then not found right away.
Right, and not...
Because it... If they walked away,
cousin and
yeah, and if they walked away like right away and collapsed at the ditch and it was frozen, like why weren't they just like laying on top of the ice on top of the ditch?
I do not understand.
And there's no holes in the ice of the ditch. Mm. It's really weird.
Okay.
So a few days after the bodies of Arnold and Ruby were found, authorities state that they had died from exposure. They like state this publicly, but they had died from exposure away from the accident scene. So they're also a little perplexed.
Okay.
And they kind of admit that. So Tim Wallen, the state attorney at the time, he states this about the case, quote, one, they weren't there after the accident, and two, all of the sudden the bodies show up on March 10th and 11th.
He said they showed up.
Yeah. He's okay. Like, we don't know where the fuck they were. He's like, but they were not there.
Weird.
He's like, we searched. They weren't there.
Wow.
Yeah. So authorities are kind of acknowledging that the bodies of Arnold and Ruby were not at the scene of the accident when they seemingly show up out of nowhere on March 10th and 11th after a thaw. It's so weird.
I mean, he came out right out and said it. That's
yeah.
wild.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of give them some props. So they're like, this is fucking weird.
Okay.
But they're also not outwardly saying that this is foul play. They're just basically saying, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, hey, we searched. They weren't there. Everyone else searched. They also determined they weren't there. There's been other eyewitness accounts saying that looked for various reasons in that area for other things.
Mm-hmm.
No one saw anything until March 10th. They're okay. Like, we're acknowledging this is fucking weird, essentially. Okay. So on the flip side of this, Arnold and Ruby's families are calling out incompetence and lack of good police work being done to try to figure out what the hell happened to Arnold and Ruby.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple moments where they talk about, like, evidently, the sheriff had taken pictures of the scene of the crime, but the film was bad.
Okay.
There also was extensive evidence picked up at the scene. And then there comes a point where the authorities and the families are talking very closely to each other. But then eventually the sheriff's department and Bureau of Indian Affairs, they kind of all go radio silent on them.
Okay.
And they never really know why.
Okay.
And so the families are like, did you guys fuck something up?
Right.
And yeah, you're trying to backtrack and hide.
Yeah. Yeah. Without being, I don't know, immediately judgmental. I'm like, did they really do that much of an... It doesn't sound like the investigation was that great if
their bodies had been there. I don't think they had been, though. I think there's...
If not, then that's
so I don't odd. Think anyone thinks the bodies were there the whole time. Because this is like a major highway. People drive back and forth on this every day.
Right.
This isn't like a weird forest road. This is like in the town proper of Andes Lake. Andes Lake is the name of the town as well. So it's Andes Lake. There's a lake there and it's also called Andes Lake.
Mm.
So it's just like if we were driving on like Highway 2 over and over, just to think that there was a body there the whole time and no one saw it is crazy.
I mean, it's, but again, I don't know. It could be reasonably possible here.
You think?
Because of all the blackberry bushes and the tall grasses and...
Here,
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what it looked like then.
Yeah, I mean...
If it looked anything like what it looks like...
From the photo I showed
you? Around here,
it didn't look possible. Like that. It didn't look like that.
There's no way.
No.
It looked like...
This is South Dakota, but they don't have the underbrush like we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is... Yeah, this isn't a well-forested area. This is farmland, essentially. It's like big open fields.
Okay, but like there's like the road from the trestle to my sister's house in Snohomish.
Again,
farmland.
This is not South Dakota.
You're saying here it would make sense? So here I don't know. In the photo you showed me, it was like basically manicured lawn.
Yeah. And it looked to be the same back in the 90s.
Wild.
So it's just...
Then it's impossible that...
Yeah.
Looks impossible to me that there would be 4 feet of water there.
I think the ditch is a little different, but I do think the landscape itself has not been altered.
All right.
There's not like tall grass or ferns or any of that stuff like we see around
Brambles
here.
Brambles.
Yeah, there's none of that. So the families are like, yes, we do think that they were probably moved there.
Oh, Jesus.
As well, but they're trying to figure out what the hell happened. And they're like, these are two indigenous people from a tribe. And... They're like, they're not putting their best people on this case.
Okay.
And they think that there is some incompetence happening.
Okay.
I
know, but it's the Bureau of Indian Affairs. So wouldn't they have some stake?
I don't think so.
In doing this well?
I don't think so.
Trash.
I don't think the Bureau of Indian Affairs are ran by Indians.
What?
I think it's a bunch of white people over there too.
Oh, did you look into that? Like, I need to know.
Not recently, but I don't think it's...
That would be weird.
I mean,
I don't like that. That
we live in a country where there's a bunch of straight white men making decisions for women's rights.
Okay.
I'm just saying, I don't think it's the way you think it is.
All right.
Yeah. Because it's a federal fucking program.
Okay.
Yeah. So during this time, Tim Wallen also brings up that there was a possibility of an eyewitness that has seen Ruby and Arnold get to a car on State Route 281. The day that Ruby and Arnold went missing.
Yeah, it would make sense if someone picked them up. That's...
Yeah. And there's another eyewitness account claiming to have seen Ruby on January 20th, over a month after she had gone missing.
Oh.
And a lot of these eyewitnesses took polygraph tests. Most of them passed. I will talk about the two that failed, though. So in November of 1993, evidence from the autopsies was sent to a laboratory in New Mexico, Albuquerque. And they found results that did not completely match the original autopsy conclusion. And this is where the families are like, I think there's some incompetence that happened. And you guys are covering it up now.
Okay.
So investigators said exposure to the elements remained a possible cause of death, but it was no longer considered the only explanation. We don't know what else they found. They have never released it.
Okay.
Which is also like...
There must be some foul play.
Yeah, are you guys covering some shit up?
Oh, why would they have to cover up?
Incompetence.
Okay.
That's what the families think is happening. It's like that you guys fucked something up. You kind of fumbled some evidence. And now you're trying to cover your tracks because you don't want people to know that you were incompetent in this case.
Okay.
But so we don't know what the evidence is still. They have never released it. And we'll get to that later, too. So Sheriff Youngstrom, who seems like the only guy who's maybe being honest about this case, he said he was not treating this case as a homicide investigation yet. But he emphasized that the important questions remained unanswered and that someone likely knew what happened to Ruby and Arnold. He's like, something happened here. I don't know if it was foul play, but something's weird's going on.
Yeah, okay.
You know. So members of the local Sioux community expressed strong doubts that the deaths were purely accidental. It's kind of what the authorities are going at this point. They're like, it was probably an accident. Something happened. Something weird happened, but they ended up back here.
They ended up back here. It was crazy. What?
Okay. So Ruby's family, they want answers, particularly for Ruby's
daughter.
Yeah. Who now Ruby's parents are in the process of adopting at this point.
Okay.
They're like, okay, Ruby's gone. We're going to adopt Ruby's baby. Mm. Her name isn't public, so I didn't really want to make it public.
Sure.
Even though she's a grown adult at this point. But
yeah.
So in the years after the initial accident, Sheriff Youngstrom disclosed that the New Mexico lab had uncovered additional evidence, but he can't reveal the details.
Hmm.
He said that there would be an arrest eventually, but it's not imminent because foul play still could not be ruled out.
What?
So he's like, there is some evidence that came up from this Albuquerque lab. What it is, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They still haven't told us. But I do think there will maybe be an eventual arrest, but not right now.
Okay.
Is kind of what he was saying.
Yeah.
Which is a weird thing to say. Yeah. It's like a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah,
essentially.
It is. Yep.
Yeah, which is not fucking helpful.
Yeah. Interesting.
So after the accident, several people claim to have seen Arnold and Ruby in different scenarios.
Okay.
These eyewitnesses went under polygraph examinations as part of the investigation initially, and they all pass.
Okay.
They pass their polygraphs, which polygraphs are neither here nor there.
Yeah.
And there's a specific eyewitness account where a woman, says that she saw Arnold at a party in January, and she knew Arnold. She's like, I saw him.
But she could be wrong about the dates.
You think?
It's possible.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. But she was like, I saw him.
When she was asked about it.
It was in late January. It was like well after a month after she said that she saw him.
But when did she do the interview? Did she do the interview in September?
Did she do the interview before? These interviews happened later in the year, in 93.
How much later is my question? She could have been like confused. I don't know. January, if they went missing in December and they weren't found until March is pretty...
I feel
unless like, maybe she didn't know they were missing. I don't know. It could have been before they went missing.
It's a small town.
I know. That's the weird thing. I'm like, it's a small town. Like,
this would have been like the biggest news happening in the small town.
Yeah.
They're like, where the fuck is Arnold and Ruby? And she's like, I saw him at a party. I know it was him. And she took a polygraph. She passed.
Okay. But that doesn't mean that when she believes that she saw him is when she saw him.
Okay.
Okay, I'm listening.
I mean, eyewitness accounts are not great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's also another account where there was someone who said on New Year's Eve, they saw Arnold in a truck with two other people. And they knew the people. He said, like, I saw him in the truck with, their names have been released. But he's like, I saw Arnold in a truck on New Year's Eve with X
person. So we're supposed to believe that they are like, wait, did anybody see Ruby after?
There are some people that said the same Ruby after, but there's more people talk about Arnold specifically.
We're supposed to believe that this thing happened in December. Mm-hmm. They're technically missing. Mm-hmm. They're not taking care of their child.
Yeah.
And that he's just alive going to parties and shit?
I don't know. That's a great question.
I don't like that.
I don't like it either.
That doesn't sound...
So this person's like, I saw Arnold in a truck on New Year's Eve with these two people. Sheriffs bring these two people in.
Okay.
They polygraph them. They fail the polygraph.
Okay.
About
and what were they saying? They were saying...
They were like, were you with Arnold on this night?
They said no?
No. They said they weren't even out on New Year's Eve, and they failed that.
Hmm.
So they kind of massively failed the polygraph of like, were you with Arnold? Were you out on New Year's Eve?
Yeah.
Were you with Arnold on New Year's Eve?
Okay.
And they failed that polygraph.
Okay.
But nothing else has come from that, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, polygraphs are not admissible.
Right. It's just an investigative tool.
Yeah, it's investigative tools, but it's fucking weird.
Sure.
That the only two people to fail a polygraph when it comes to eyewitness accounts are the two people who said that they weren't with Arnold.
Okay.
Because everyone else who had taken the polygraph.
What the fuck is Arnold doing?
If he's I don't know. Just
like up there roaming around.
It's a great, whose keys does he have?
Mm-hmm.
There's so many questions with this case. So I mean, obviously we can't use it as gospel. It's just a bizarre part of this case where there's just so many people like, I saw him.
Yeah.
After. I saw Ruby after. Not as many accounts say they saw Ruby, but there are accounts that say that they saw Ruby. But it's more about Arnold at that point. Which also, his decomp was as advanced as Ruby's.
Yeah, it's odd.
So it's very odd. So Youngstrom traveled to Nebraska to interview some former residents of Lake Andes, and he thought they might have some relevant information, but that kind of seemed to go cold, unfortunately. And the families created a reward initially for $1,000, and they raised it to $5,000, in hopes of getting some new leads. But nothing significant comes up after these efforts. So then the family contacts Unsolved Mysteries.
Okay.
Yeah. Which...
this is how you found him?
I think so, actually. Yeah, probably. This is the Unsolved Mysteries after Robert Stack.
Okay.
So it's not like the new one on Netflix. It's like the... they're still trying to do the same thing, just like with a different host. Mm. So it's not quite as good.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. I watched the episode, but what I was trying to look for earlier, I'll get into it. So in 1995, one of Ruby's cousins persuaded the TV show Unsolved Mysteries. If you don't know what it is, why are you here? Go watch Unsolved Mysteries.
You don't know, you better find out.
If you haven't seen Unsolved Mysteries and listened to this podcast, you're going backwards.
Oh.
You need to watch Unsolved Mysteries and then come to this podcast. Mm,
okay.
If that makes sense.
Well, maybe they're listening so they don't have to watch it.
Okay. I'm just covering one segment. Let you cherry pick
the episodes.
Yeah. So Ruby's cousin contacts Unsolved Mysteries to cover the case. They're like, this happened. And Unsolved Mysteries is like, hell yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So producers of Unsolved Mysteries reenact the crash at Lake Andes.
Okay.
In the episode. I couldn't find it. That's why I was like, I'm trying to find... I texted you. I'm like, I'm going to be late. I'm trying to find this clip. It's not on the clip on YouTube.
Okay.
I looked and read it on like a Reddit thread. Someone was talking about how they have it on their DVD.
Okay.
Of Unsolved Mysteries. So evidently it's been like edited. I don't know. For whatever. Which is very unfortunate.
Mm, I'm sorry.
So they use like local actors, investigators, including Sheriff Youngstrom. He's like playing himself in this reenactment.
Oh, okay, Diva.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're trying to recreate the crash, and they're trying to recreate the like how the search went out. And once again, they're like, this is what happened. But it's also, it still makes it more perplexing because you're like, it's so obvious. Like, why didn't you guys find them? So Youngstrom reveals that he still has the keys that were found in Arnold's pocket. He's like, we still don't know where these are from.
Weird.
Yeah. They have never been able to identify the vehicle or the locks of what these keys belong to.
Weird. Like, it's his work vehicle?
No. Okay. No, nothing.
Okay.
He works at a casino.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And he doesn't really have a work truck.
Back then he could have had keys. What does he do in the casino?
I didn't really say.
Mm, okay.
There's not like a ton of coverage on this case, unfortunately.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But, I mean, that could have been ruled out very easily.
Sure.
I would hope.
Yeah.
After.
Well, you know, but you did spend some time talking about how maybe they didn't do a lot of good investigation.
It doesn't sound great. No, I do think that they probably would have at least ruled that out.
Okay.
Yeah. But the keys are still in evidence. They don't know where they belong to. I mean, like whatever structure was probably there.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably gone. Potentially. Unfortunately. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely the car. Whatever car keys they were.
Yeah.
Yeah. So after the episode aired, Youngstrom and the Bureau of Indian Affairs investigator Dennis Simmons traveled to California to help process some viewer tips. They really committed. And they received about 25 to 30 leads.
Oh.
In the case.
That's good.
But they kind of go nowhere, unfortunately. Oh, no. And then that's actually when we get the woman who said that she knew Arnold.
And she said
that she saw him on New Year's Eve.
Oh, so that was later, much later.
In 95, yeah.
Okay. But so then she could be wrong. Yeah. I'm thinking that she probably was wrong about the dates, personally.
I mean, she passed the polygraph.
That doesn't mean she actually saw him. That just means she really believes that that's when she saw him.
That's true. I mean, that's why it's missable, right?
Yeah.
So Youngstrom also... investigates a report from North Dakota about two men seen near the crash in a Blazer type vehicle, like a Chevy Blazer, the morning that the bodies were found on March 10th.
Wait, what about it?
So Youngstrom gets a tip.
Okay.
After the Unsolved Mysteries episode, where someone was like, hey, I saw a Blazer near that site.
Near that site. Okay.
Pulled over? Yes. On March 10th.
Okay.
That day.
Okay.
When Ruby's body was found.
Got it.
And so he's trying to investigate that. Mm-hmm. But whether or not the tip was credible, we don't know because no new evidence is found from it, unfortunately. So the Unsolved Mystery segment brought national attention to the strange deaths of Ruby and Arnold. But in the end, none of the leads that came in moved the case forward. Not long after, a federal dispute over reservation boundaries temporarily stripped state and local law enforcement of jurisdiction in that part of the Charles Mix County area where all this happened, and the FBI took over the investigation, which seems like it should be good. Mm-hmm. But even with the federal involvement, the case eventually goes cold, and then 4 years later, the FBI closed it.
Oh.
So okay. They just say that wasn't enough evidence of a crime being committed.
Okay.
So there's like, there's not enough evidence of something bad happened, no foul play. So there's just like, so we have to close the case, is what the FBI claims.
All right.
Which,
I mean,
I don't know if I like that.
Okay.
Because it's still an unsolved fucking case. Where were the bodies? Unless
their conclusion is like, they were there and this was just poor police work and a weird coincidence and that it was related to the accident.
Well, Special Agent Matt Miller says that all they really knew was that Arnold and Ruby had somehow appeared in the ditch and that was it. So it's not like this was poor police work. They were always there. This is like
they just keep saying that they weren't there and then they were suddenly there.
Yeah. Strange. That's what the FBI is saying.
And they also said that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. So the special agent from the FBI says that and then he's like,
are they allowed to just close the case that there's just because there's not enough evidence?
I don't know. That's a great question. Because I feel like because there's not enough evidence of foul play, of a murder that happened or something, like a kidnapping or something. And so there's just like, well, like we don't really know, but we're just going to close it because this is weird.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that's essentially what they did.
Okay.
Which I don't think they should do that. Like...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't
like,
know
how it works. You just want to know what happened?
Or maybe they're like, we can't go any further here.
I think so, but like, I don't think that means then you should close it. Then I would have just thought it
had been open and unsolved.
Yes, I think that's what a cold case is, right?
I would think so, but
they decided to close it.
Yeah, okay.
So for the people who worked the case from the beginning, the answer never felt complete, obviously. Mm-hmm. So Sheriff Westendorf, even years later, called it the most puzzling case of his career. He was above Sheriff Youngstrom. He pointed to the horseback rider who searched the same area in late January when the ground was bare and dry and saw no signs of the body in the very place that they would later be found.
Bare and dry, okay.
Bare and dry. So Westendorf never backed away from what he believed, that Arnold and Ruby died somewhere else and were placed in that ditch after the fact.
Why?
But belief is not the same as proof, and without physical evidence, without witnesses, and without a clear cause of death.
They died on someone's property, and then someone found them and were like, well, we don't want anything to do with this, so we're just going to, like,
keep them here for 3 months? And then
no, or maybe they didn't find them for a while. Maybe it's like, okay, imagine that it's huge farmland or something. It's the middle of winter. You're not combing your property thoroughly, you know, during that time period. They did potentially, you know, die of hypothermia, roaming around trying to find, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And then when you find them, you're like, I don't want any part of this. Maybe I've got a reason that I don't want police or FBI or investigators on my property. Maybe many reasons. And then perhaps you just move the bodies.
That's so fucked up, though.
It is. I'm just trying to think of a human explanation for what happened.
No, I mean, I definitely could see that, but no one's said anything since. Well, like, I'm just going to pretend it didn't happen.
Yeah, like I said, that there may be an incentive to keeping the authorities away from your fucking business that might have had nothing to do with these two dead people.
That seems like a really shitty thing to do. I know people do shitty things all the time. But it seems like exponentially shitty. Like,
it's not shittier than murdering them.
No. But I mean, if that happened and those people were like, I don't know, let's say in their 40s or 50s, then they'd probably be, it's like deathbed confession, I guess. No one's going to confess at the very end, like, oh yeah, I moved the bodies because I was growing marijuana out there and I didn't want people to find me.
I'm sorry, but in the 90s, in that area, that seems like... not an implausibility.
Yeah.
Got people in jail currently for marijuana in the 90s.
I mean, to not hear anything since, like I'm saying, like someone be like, I am dying.
Yeah, but then maybe there's prison time for whatever that offense is.
If you're in your deathbed?
Well, not if you're on your deathbed, but like...
That's what I'm saying. I need like a deathbed.
I know, but not everybody is sentimental about shit.
But like they have a daughter somewhere.
Yeah.
Be like that. I know her.
I know, but imagine that you didn't do anything to them. They're dead either way. Maybe you're doing the family a service. But at least now they found them. They know what exactly that they're not coming back and they didn't just walk away.
Yeah, but like it still left so many more questions than answers.
Well, those questions, I don't know. I'm just
because simply, like their daughter is still in the community.
You better have a theory to offer if you're going to sit here.
I don't have a theory because this is a crazy fucking story. Okay, I think your theory God is forbid viable.
My theory.
I'm not saying your theory is inviable.
We're fighting.
We are fighting.
Sick of this shit. I'm sick of your shit.
The girlies are fighting. I'm not saying your theory isn't viable. I'm just saying it pisses me off.
Oh, God, Missy.
Where are you going?
I dropped my pillow.
She literally was like fully...
It pisses her off, therefore it cannot be plausible.
No, I'm saying it does piss me off. I do think it is plausible. I'm just saying that really pisses me off that no one would come forward over 30 years later.
Yeah.
To give their daughter some answers.
I mean, that... It could have been just like a fucking septic old loser. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but no one's come forward been like, I think my grandpa did that, you know?
You might not know. I don't know. I think it probably takes more than one person to move two bodies, but what do I know?
That's what I'm saying.
There's some big fucking Midwestern dudes out there.
Right, yeah. Throwing some bodies around, I guess. Yes. And no one saw it. I don't know. It feels crazy all this time that like no one has said anything.
All right. Are you going to wrap this? What else we got?
Yeah. Okay. So this is where the case still sits. Two people vanished after a crash, reappeared months later in a place that had already been searched, and left behind a mystery that no television segment, police investigation, or federal review could fully explain. Whether this was a tragic accident, a cover-up, or something more sinister, the truth has never been firmly established. Mm-hmm. But someone may still know what happened to Arnold and Ruby.
True. That's true.
And if you do, if you have a grandpa who did some shitty shit and lived in the area.
Okay.
Maybe try to...
Sure.
At least tell the daughter.
I'm just saying, are grandpas out here telling their dirtiest secrets? I don't think so.
On the deathbed, maybe. A lot of these people are deeply fucking religious, too.
I don't think so. I don't know that people are doing deathbed confessions as much as you think. Whatever. At that point, take it with you. Right to your grave.
Don't do that. We need answers. For the love of God. Where Ruby and Arnold were and how they died and how they ended up is still on that back road. We don't know.
Yeah. It's odd.
It's odd. It's a very, very odd, weird case.
And the cousin.
She was
17. You didn't talk to her very much. You didn't talk about her very much.
I mean, she gave her a statement. She's like, this is what happened. I don't fucking know.
Yeah. God, what a weird. Imagine being her.
I know.
And all this time just like having no idea and being like, I guess I'm lucky, but it's so odd.
Yeah, it's a strange, strange case. It's not very long, I know. It's not one of our longer episodes.
It's okay.
But it just...
I've not heard this story.
It's bugged the shit out of me since I've heard it. Because I'm like, what the fuck happened here?
You do this to yourself with unsolved mysteries.
I do.
You know what? It's just actually, frankly, quite obnoxious. Not you. But an unsolved mystery. For me.
It is.
It's very annoying.
It is very annoying. But I do think these are the ones that should be talked about.
You're right.
Like, we've talked about this multiple times.
Yeah. It's frustrating.
It's really frustrating because I feel like this, I think you're right. If someone does know something, they're not going to say anything, unfortunately, which I do feel like a lot of the cases we do cover, they can be solved.
Mm-hmm.
Just maybe some advanced evidence, someone coming forward. But if this tiny little community, if someone knows something, I don't think they're ever going to come forward, unfortunately. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But I think just the fact that no one has come forward and been like, yeah, my grandpa found them in a field and he also cooked meth and made pot or, you know, grew pot. And so he didn't want to get caught by the feds. So he dumped them back where they were. It's fucked up.
But if you think about it that way, from that point of view, it might be like the kindest way
to deal with it.
Yeah, but it left more questions than answers. Could dump them in the woods nearby.
Jesus, that's even more weird.
I mean, like then it's like, oh, okay, like they wandered out here together and they died from the elements. That's more of an explanation than just like they were the exact same spot. Yeah. That everyone searched extensively.
Yeah, I guess you could sort of just, yeah, I don't know.
You could make a your own narrative in that point, right? Mm-hmm. Also, it's a less likely getting caught dumping bodies.
That's true.
Next to a fucking highway.
Yeah.
You know, it's bold.
Yeah, that's true.
And like the fact that you probably knew them is also kind of fucked up.
Maybe.
You knew where they crashed and you knew mm-hmm. about the case. If that's you did true. That means you probably at least in some 6 degrees of separation knew
unless
where they
were there the whole time.
I definitely don't think they were there the whole time. I think everyone's like, they were definitely not there.
Strange.
It's a very, very odd case.
So I don't solve mysteries. Put it up there to torture you.
I know. They really get you. They really get you. Thanks, Robert Stack, for nothing.
I thought you said he had nothing to do with this.
No, this was the reboot. I'm sorry. There was another host for this one. But yeah, that's what we got for you this week.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
Frustrating as always. Thank you.
I know, but... perplexing.
Mm. At least, I don't know. I hope that whatever happened, they were like together.
Yeah.
Wasn't good night. It's just odd. It's very odd.
It's a very odd case. I think their daughter, she seems to be like kind of private. That's why I didn't say her name or anything. So totally. I didn't really want to put her out there.
No, of course not.
But I hope she's doing okay. But thanks for listening.
Yep.
You know, do the things. Review, subscribe. Until next time.
Stay grimly curious. It's been a minute.
I know, you're the pause. You're like, wait.
Thank you so much for listening. Music by Alex Kingston and Adam McKinnon.
For podcast photos and updates, follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Grimly Podcast.
Be sure to rate and review, and we will see you next week for another episode. Bye, bitch.
's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.